So, Miss Eleanor, how are you this morning? Okay, here's your microphone. And let's just step up here just kind of close to this real intimidating thing so it'll be sure everybody will hear what you say, because what you say is going to be a whole lot more important than what I say about homecoming. Tell us, how did the church begin? How did Woodland Baptist get here?
We were a mission effort from Ridgecrest Baptist Church.
A mission effort from Ridgecrest Baptist Church. So Ridgecrest saw a need. Jones?
No. You have...
Joanne and Toby?
No.
Lenny's wanting to help you from back there in the choir loft. You know who the third one was, Lenny?
Oh, I can't even... His son is now leading the church at East End, the music.
Mordecai?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot that. Betty and Jerry Mordecai.
Betty and Jerry Mordecai.
Yes.
Okay, so these three families.
I'll never forget that.
So these three families left their home church, basically, and went to this area, and on nothing but hope, gospel hope and prayers, and some support from their home church, and started Woodland Baptist. What year was that?
This church, the initial building was begun in 1976. We had our first service here March 6, 1977.
March 6, 1977 was your first worship service. Okay, now I've heard a lot. Now, tell me about... So the original sanctuary was this, the smaller building right over here, right?
It was, yes.
Okay. And then this new sanctuary was built 11 years ago, is that what I heard?
It was dedicated 11 years ago today.
Wow.
July the 1st, 2011.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Awesome. Okay, now... What else? You want to share something else? I don't really know what are the questions asking.
We were organized into a church on May the 12th, 1977,
okay,
with 59 charter members.
59 charter members.
The Lord blessed and added to us our church almost each Sunday.
That's wonderful.
And the end of June, we were able to be self-supporting, paying our debt on our building, and also our pastor's salary. As well as...
Amen.
Early in our church, we agreed to give at least 10% to missions.
Praise God. Amen, Brother Dan. Amen.
And the Lord has blessed us.
Continues to bless,
yes,
doesn't he? He
yes.
really does. That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do, just for a brief moment. If you're a charter member of Woodland Baptist Church, would you stand up today? Charter member of Woodland Baptist Church, and just remain standing for just a moment. Here we are. Everybody see them? Charter members of Woodland Baptist Church. Here they are, brothers and sisters. The people, the backbone of Woodland. Stand up. Stand up. All right. Amen. Amen. Anything else?
Joanne and Toby came that Sunday night to visit us.
They did.
And they've been...
And they stayed.
Faithful, yes.
And they're still here.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
She's been playing the piano almost ever since.
And she's really a very lovely, wonderful... Christian, flexible music minister. I mean, she really is. So are you, by the way.
We were all younger then.
You all young.
But we were very excited.
Well, praise God.
And God has blessed.
Yes, ma'am. And we're going to continue that tradition of gospel ministry here at Woodland Baptist Church beyond our own lives. Amen?
That's Amen. What we desire to do.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming to share. Let's have a... Yeah, please. Let me have a prayer with you for Woodland Baptist. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these charter members, for Miss Eleanor and for the heart of Ridgecrest back years ago, Lord, when they gave up probably some of their more productive, faithful members to come here to plant this church. And Father, I am just so thankful for churches that have hearts like that. And I truly believe to the depth of my soul that Woodland Baptist has that heart. And that one day we too, as we continue to grow here and reach the nations for the gospel, that we will also participate in church planting in the very near future. Lord, I thank you for these charter members and their faithfulness, their love for you, their love for your word, their love for your people, their love for one another. And Father, I just pray that you would help us at Woodland Baptist Church to treat them with the utmost respect and love. Because Father, it is because of them and their service and their love for you that Woodland Baptist is as healthy and as wonderful as it is today. And may we look to their example and to their sacrifice and to their faithfulness as an example for all of us to follow into future years and for future generations. And Lord, we pray all. I've heard of Dan. You know, Dan served in the association that I came from in the Mississippi Delta for 7 years. Is that right? At Parkview Baptist Church, where Justin is now. And I've known of Dan for years, but the Lord definitely used Brother Robertson to bring me here to Woodland Baptist Church. Amen? So, I mean, no question about it. So he's the guy you can blame if you want to blame somebody, okay? But he and I have become, of course, being an associational mission director and knowing the frustrations, for lack of a better word, of getting one church to cooperate on something's hard enough. Try getting 66 churches trying to cooperate on something. So he needs our prayers. He needs our support. He needs our love. Because I guarantee you we have his. Amen? Amen. Would you give him a warm welcome today, Woodland Baptist Church? Dan Robertson.
Thank you, Pastor.
Come on up here, man. I'm going to hug you in front of everybody. I'm going to give you a hug. All right, brother. Bring
pleasure
it.
To
yes,
be
sir.
With you. Well, good morning. It is so good to be with you here at Woodland Baptist Church and to get to celebrate with you on your very, very special day of homecoming. And this beautiful place, can you believe it, 11 years ago today, was dedicated. Well, isn't that wonderful? That's some good timing, isn't it, to come together and to say that we're all just happy to be here at home. This new experiment, isn't it? That's what it is. Like our country was a brand new experiment, a republic that we call it. We are an unusual country indeed. God has richly blessed our nation. And I am very, very proud to be called an American. And the cross is my statue of liberty. It is. But I think about this country that you and I have been given as an experiment. Would it work? And this beautiful church given as an experiment, would it work? And no doubt God is blessing our country and blessing this church. I thought about how can I do a July the 4th kind of gathering. When I drove by and I saw all of those beautiful flags, I said, you know, there must be some patriotic folks there. When I saw that, you must really love this land. Well, I love this land. And let me tell you, when you've traveled abroad and you come back to this place, you know you love this land. Because we have been so richly blessed. But you and I both know that we have to be obedient to God for this experiment to work. Take your Bible and turn to the 24th chapter of Joshua. The 24th chapter of Joshua. And I want you and me to look together here at God's Word. In the 24th chapter of Joshua, there is a covenant at Shechem, and Joshua is getting ready to go on to be with the Lord, and he is admonishing the children of Israel to stay true to God's word, to stay true to his precepts and his commandments. He says there in verse 13 of chapter 24, well, look at verse 1 first. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads and for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. So there is this gathering of the leadership of the land. In verse 13, Joshua says, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and you eat the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, this was quite an experience and an experiment, because God was giving to Israel a brand new land. And if you read Joshua's conquest of the land, you saw some very unusual military tactics that were used. As a matter of fact, they would draw people out of their cities and then come in behind them. It's very interesting when you read all of the ways that Joshua did battle. But you know that Israel was just whipped ruthlessly by a little place called Ai. Now, isn't that interesting? Because they had just taken the gigantic city of Jericho. But somehow they had been disobedient to God. You know the story of Achan, don't you? Now, I know that we don't have time to see how the land was taken. But we do have time to look at how the land can be kept. You see, you and I have been given this wonderful experiment. But what's it going to take to make certain that it continues to work? And as I read here, the Bible says in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me," Joshua says, "and my house, we will serve the Lord." Look at verse 16. "So the people answered and said, 'Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed.'" Now, they had seen all of that. But look at verse 20. If you will. Joshua says, "But if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." I don't like that verse, do y'all? When I look at that, I am reminded that God has blessed us and given us tremendous responsibility. I want to talk to you just a little bit today upon this great dream, the Patriot's dream that we have sung about. I want to speak to you a little bit about that dream. And then I want to talk with you about a ever-present danger. And then finally, if we have time, I want to talk to you about our duty. So now there you have the sermon. We can stop anytime you want to. But that has the gist of what I want to say to you. And so I want to start out here by just simply saying that God gave us a wonderful opportunity. Let's pray and give him thanks. Lord Jesus, today we come on this wonderful Sunday, July 1, to celebrate what you have done at Woodland Baptist Church. Lord, you've blessed this place. You've sent to them a godly man that loves your word and wants to teach your word and love the people. Lord, I thank you for Brother Shelby and his family. Heavenly Father, I recognize today that you have blessed this place, and many people have come to know you as a result of the testimony and the light shining from this wonderful place set right here in this beautiful setting. Lord, you've blessed us with a country that has never been surpassed by any other nation. And Lord, we pray that we can be a people that you can continue to bless. Please, Lord, forgive us where we failed you. Help us never to serve the gods of the Amorites or to serve those gods that were on the other side of the river. But Lord, to come in and to be obedient to you. Thank you that the pastor read for us this morning from the Shema. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful quote that not only are we to live by your precepts, but we're to teach our children. And we're to display them in our homes. Talk about them when we go in the way. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we shall continue to do that And we will teach our children and our children's children your many blessings. And help us, Father, to always be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you continue to read in Joshua 24, you'd find that Joshua said, okay, you're going to serve the Lord. We're going to erect this monument. And it's going to be something we're going to point to in years ahead. And I want all of our children to know and understand what God has done. Now, Brother Shelby read from Moses' words there, "Hear, O Israel." And then Joshua says again, we're going to make sure you stay true to your word. Now, this great dream of ours started a long time ago. And do you know, as you walk up the steps of the building which houses the Supreme Court, near the top of that building, a row of the world's lawgivers are there, and each one is facing one in the middle who is facing forward with a full frontal view. You know who that is, folks? That is Moses. You know what he's holding? He's holding the Ten Commandments. Did you know that that was the dream of this nation long ago? Do you know that if you go back in our history, that on those two huge oak doors of the Supreme Court courtroom, the Ten Commandments are engraved on each lower portion of each door? Did you know? As you sit in the courtroom, you can see the wall right above where the Supreme Court justices sit. Do you know what's displayed there? The Ten Commandments. How many places are you looking at in this court, the highest court of our land? That, friends, was a dream. It was a dream a long time ago that etched into our national monuments are God's commands. Did you know that James Madison, the fourth president known as the father of our Constitution, made this following statement? We have staked the whole of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves and to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Said Patrick Henry, that patriot and founding father of our country, it cannot be emphasized too strongly and too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you know Patrick Henry said that? Do you know that this great experiment a long time ago said that we're going to have a preacher to come and he's going to pray for Congress every time they begin? Do you know to this day, since 1777, that a preacher comes in, opens up with prayer, and get this, they still pay him? Did you know that? That's the land you and I are living in. That's the land. Oh, I tell you, folks, 52 of our 55 founders of the Constitution were members of established Orthodox churches of the colonies. Understand, the very first Chief Justice, his name was John Jay, he said, Americans should select, that means get out and vote. Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers. That's the experiment. This nation of ours doesn't work unless it is built upon these precepts. You understand then that is our dream. How is it that 230 years plus later, we're deciding all of a sudden that was wrong. God forbid. And I am looking at the individuals that are going to see to it that we don't lose the dream. It was a beautiful, beautiful dream from the beginning. But I tell you, folks, this patriot dream that we knew is in grave danger today. That Joshua said to the children of Israel, I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to see here that change is happening in our land, and I want you to understand that America has a tremendous danger, as did Israel. Who was the danger? The danger was God. Because Joshua said to Israel, if you go after those other gods, the same thing that God did to the peoples of this land, he will do to you. Would you say that would be a danger? There are those who say, oh, the danger are the liberalists that are out there. I submit to you this morning, folks, the danger is God, who says that we must adhere to his precepts. Here's the latest. The latest figures I have, this is December 2010. I wish I could be a little more current, but I think you'll get the idea here. The idea here, according to Barna, there are six major themes. I'll give you a few of them. Number one, the Christian church is becoming less theologically literate. Our church today, which used to always require what God's word said about something before we would pursue it, nowadays, we have become colossally ignorant of what God said. I love to hear David Barton. I listen to him from time to time, and he always takes us back to our roots. And he says that we are slowly getting completely away from God, and he kind of shakes us good whenever he gives us a little history lesson. And what I've tried to do for you on the history lesson is to show you the dream of the patriots a long time ago that said we will place God first. Number two, Christians are becoming more ingrown and less outreach oriented. We seemingly are moving to this aquarium effect to where the church is interested in their own rather than interested in those that are outside. And we have to be very, very careful these days because Christianity can lose its grip within, as one man said, within one generation. If we do not teach those concepts and precepts to our children and they to their children. Number three, growing numbers of people are less interested in spiritual principles and more desirous of learning pragmatic solutions for life. That is Barna. I'm talking about secular ideas here. That's coming to us that we are less interested in spiritual principle. Number four, among Christians, interest in participating in our community seems to be escalating as more and more volunteers, but they're doing so for praise of men. Look what our folks have done, rather than God expects this of us. This postmodern insistence, and now in Canada, they don't use postmodern anymore. The terminology that's used is pre-Christian. That's a shocker, isn't it? That the generations have not even heard now. Used to call that postmodernism. Now we are calling it pre-Christian. The postmodern insistence on tolerance is winning over in the Christian church. It seems that in our land, most everything is tolerated except the Christian church. And I say to you that the Christian church is the only hope for this land. Do you know, folks, that was the dream a long time ago. It says, oh God, help us to be true to your word. And unless we are, those same things that happened to the all of those sites, I call them in the Joshua 24, the Jebusites and Amorites and all those sites, you know. Those same things could happen to our land. And then the influence of Christianity on culture and on the individual, Barna says, is largely invisible. Now that is taken from much, much research, but I'm afraid that you and I would agree today that that certainly is true. From what we see in this land, this great experiment long ago, that says, God, we will put you first. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So then, we've looked at some of the dream. We have looked at some of the dangers that exist for us. But we know the ultimate danger is in God himself to our land. Because I think, as one man said a long time ago, unless God does judge us, then he must apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a harsh statement, isn't it? A harsh statement, but if we look at it practically, we know it's a true statement. In the land that you and I live in, I never thought that I would see some of the things that I see today. And it literally breaks my heart to see that we are getting so far from God and his precepts and so colossally ignorant of his word. That's why it is so important that when you have a man stand here, that he's opening God's word and he says, thus saith the Lord. It's not so much what the media tells us out there. I get the biggest kick these days out of some political leader or some athletic person who's going to tell me how to live my life. I really do. I get such a kick out of that because it seems that God's precepts are so foreign. And I say to you, it is a sad day whenever we have to say, oh God, get us back on the straight and the narrow way. I want to give you this, and I'm going to finish. This is what I believe to be your duty and my duty. Number one, stay in the Word of God. Stay in God's Word. Teach it to your children. Read it to them. Tell them stories about it. I know we got these Veggie Tales that do all of that. I know we do, those are very innovative. But there's nothing that can ever top a dad sitting down with his family to say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And here's what God's Word says. And Billy, I want you to know that. And Susie, I want you to know that. And whenever you get off on your own, this is what you adhere to. This is God's guide through life, his word. Secondly, I want you to stay involved. Don't run away and hide somewhere. Speak if God tells you to speak. And be a godly influence on those that are around you. Don't ever be ashamed of the fact that you are a Christian. And stand for that today. Because I tell you, folks, it seems that our churches are becoming very silent, particularly when it comes to any kind of social issue. Right now, before our state, is the final closing of the final abortion clinic. Did you know, folks, that right there should say something to the rest of the nation? And I pray that we can do such a thing. The killing of innocents, I believe, is one of the most terrible, heinous sins that can be. And Ireland has been involved in it since 1973. And I say, folks, that we must stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. Stay focused. Stay focused on God's word and what he wants you to do. Stay insistent. This is God's word. This is what we must do. Otherwise, this dream that we know, this great experiment that started out, no doubt, upon Christian principle, must be sounded loud and clear for this world to hear again. Oh, I say to you, there are so many today that are saying to us, well, you Americans, all you want to do is just conquer the world. That's all you want to do. I've been in foreign lands before, and people will come up to me and say, are you Americans all imperialist? And I'd say, well, now, you hang around me just a little while, and let's see about that. That we want to take, Secretary of State Dean Rush was in a country, he was in France. In the early 60s, when de Gaulle decided to pull out of NATO, and de Gaulle said he wanted all U.S. military out of France as soon as possible in the 1960s. Dean Rush responded, does that include those who are buried here? You could have heard a pin drop. When in England, a fairly large conference, Colin Powell was asked by the Archbishop of Canterbury, if our plans for Iraq were just an example of empire building of George Bush. He answered, over the years, the United States has sent many of its fine young men and women into great peril to fight for freedom beyond our borders. The only amount of land we ever ask in return is enough to bury those who did not return. This one all caught my attention. It's my dad, who's in the VA home in Oxford. I was privileged to speak and to sing at the VA the other day. Those guys, many of them in wheelchairs, many of them shaking, American flags as they came in. I remember that so many of them gave so much for this experiment of freedom to be what it is. At French Customs, an old gentleman, he was taking a long time to find his passport. Didn't know what to do. He was getting on up in years. You have been in France before, Monsieur? The customs officer asked him sarcastically. Mr. Whiting admitted that he had been in France previously. Then you should know enough to have your passport ready. The American said, the last time I was here, I didn't have to show it. Impossible. Americans always have to show their passports on arrival in France. And the old gentleman gave the Frenchman a long, hard look. Then he quietly explained, well, when I came ashore at Omaha Beach on D-Day in 1944 to help liberate this country, I couldn't find a single Frenchman to show my passport to. Friends, it's been at great cost. At great cost. This great experiment. It is a dream, isn't it? Right here is a dream. But there are dangers that exist. Would to God we will stay on our knees. Stay insistent. Stay on your knees. To say, oh God, make us what you want us to be. Because this is home. Something special about it. Whenever I get away from home, I love coming back here. I love to be back and pour a glass of water and look at it and just drink it. You think that's silly? I'll tell you, folks, I've been there. To know and that I don't have to listen to somebody blowing a whistle going up and down the street to let me know that everything's safe on the street. To know that I can lie down at night and close my eyes and feel safe. Do you know how blessed we are? Do you know that you can get out on the highways and get your car up to 65? Some of you 80. You can do that. And you don't have to fear except for the blue light, you know. But if you're obeying the law, we don't have to fear. And there's no potholes that's going to knock your tires off. When my Ukrainian guest came to visit with me and I was driving down the highway, he said, "Aren't you going too fast?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing the speed limit." He said, "Well, where are all the potholes?" And I said, "Well, this is Interstate 55. I said, "I'm dependent on there being none." He said, "You're kidding." Drove up to McDonald's, young folks, and I started talking to that little box. And this Ukrainian pastor, he said through his interpreter, "Why is the pastor talking to the box?" And I said, "Well, tell him that we're going to eat mighty good from that box." All right. And he said, "America. America." It was just incredible. The old missionary had been over in Africa a long time. And he had been serving the Lord for 30 plus years. Time came for him to come home. And he was looking forward to it. But he didn't realize that another president of the United States was on the boat with him. His name was Theodore Roosevelt. I think y'all know him, don't you? Theodore Roosevelt was on that boat. He had been hunting in Africa. The story is told by W.A. Criswell. It said that that old missionary, he looked at his wife and said, "Wife, we've been gone so long, you reckon anybody will remember us? Reckon anybody will?" Sure enough, as they came toward the port, he heard bands cranking up. He said, "Wife, look there." And I mean, they were playing for the Stars and the Stripes right there, you know. And the old gentleman looked and he said, "Wife, they didn't forget us." And then he noticed all the fanfare was not for him. But the president had come home and down the gangplank and all the bands playing and everybody left with the president there. The old man and his wife were dragging his luggage down the gangplank. He said, "Wife, I don't know." Got into an old hotel, didn't have too much money, and got into just old dingy place. And he said, "Wife, it's just not right. We come home, and nobody here to greet us." And his wife looked at him and said, "Hon, I don't know, but I'm going to slip out. You need to talk with the Lord about that." And the old gentleman got out on his knees. He said, "Oh, God, we've come home. Nobody even remembers. Wasn't anybody here to greet us." And it seems that God in his sovereign grace put his arms around the old missionary. And he said, "But old missionary, you're not home yet." Now, folks, in the world you and I are living in right now, don't expect to be patted on the back if you stand for the Lord. But I'm asking you for this great dream of our forefathers. I'm asking you to avoid the dangers and the pitfalls that are before us in our country. And I'm asking you to understand your duty to stay in God's Word, to stay focused upon what God wants us to do, to stay insistent, and to stay on your knees. And when you're praying for Woodland Baptist Church, Lord, make this a light that's going to shine so brightly the world's going to have to take notice. And may our country turn to God. And may we lift up our Savior, our Statue of Liberty. I've been to visit that wonderful lady in the harbor. stood right there. I was trying to tell my mom how beautiful it was down in Costa Rica. She was at the point of death. And then I suddenly realized that I was being kind of silly. That's what my mom was about to see. There's nothing here going to match it. And I said, Mom, I know you want to go on, be with the Lord. Thank you for waiting on me to get home. And I know now you've got to go. Because you see, as much as we love this place I believe was given to direct people to Jesus, just as Israel was supposed to have directed people to God. By the way, my theology says Israel get one more chance to do that. My theology does. But I believe this, that you and I have that responsibility. It's our duty, the great American duty, is to point people to Jesus. Don't let our nationalistic pride get in the way of doing that. To point people to Christ. If you're here today and you've seen Jesus lifted up, we praise God for that. Because Jesus is the one to whom we bow our knees. Red-blooded Americans don't bow to many people, do we? Matter of fact, if my dad was here, he'd say, we don't bow to anybody but Jesus. If you need to bow before him today, there's an altar and your pastor is right there. Come on home today. Home this U.S. Oh, yeah. Home is Woodland. Oh, yeah. You ain't seen nothing yet. When you come to know Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Right? If you need to come to him, you come today. Would you bow your heads? And right now,